T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jackson, Bears safety.
Nothing easy, baby. You got to work, hard work. Like Tariq, he had a saying. He said, don't wish for it, work for it. So we going to work for it.
Interceptor of passes.
Rodgers, late pressure coming, throwing over the middle. It's broken up and intercepted in the end zone. Coming out with it, Eddie Jackson.
Scorer of touchdowns.
Here's the throw. He's picked off, and there he goes. Eddie Jackson to the house at the 10-5 end zone. Touchdown!
It's fun. You know, we're trying to bring that swagger back to the Bears.
Quarterbacks? Ooh, they hate him, but we love him.
Like Coach Nugget says, we're either getting better or getting worse. And right now, we got a saying, we're chasing greatness. We're not just saying it, we're actually coming in every day and improving it.
Eddie Jackson, every week with Mulligan Hall.
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Eddie Jackson joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Home of the real deal. He's the Bears Eddie that we like. Good morning, Eddie. How are you?
Morning, Eddie.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, that was a rough one, obviously. And you look at that game and you start looking at the statistics and just reading the game book. My God, the dominance was everywhere, Eddie. You guys won every statistic. And certainly your defense wasn't on the field quite as often as it had been in the last few games. But sadly, the final score doesn't represent the dominance you had in that game. When things aren't going well, how do you keep positive when you have that kind of result?
You really just stick together. You know, that's just what it's all about. It's just for us to stick together. You know, just like Coach said, well, we just got each other right now, so we just got to trust and just stay together and just know that it's all going to work out. You know, just keep trying to push, keep fighting, and just, you know, try to fix all the problems.
On paper, Eddie, Phillip Rivers did not have a great game, 19-29, 201 yards. You feel like if you hold Phillip Rivers at 200 yards passing, you've got a shot. Passer rating 82.7. He did hit a big play here and there that helped the Chargers. How would you evaluate overall the play of the secondary?
It was a couple of plays left out there. You know, me especially. You know, the big bomb. You know, I had a great break on it in the post, and you know, I should have just went up and got the ball. You know, so I really put that on me. You know, that's been eating me up since yesterday, because I feel like that was like the game changer. You know, play for us in the first half. You know, they get that big bomb, they get down the red area, then they score. So I feel like that play right there just been hunting me. You know, I wish I would have played it totally different, but you know, you just learn from it.
Did that affect you during the game? I mean, did you have a conscious loss of confidence during the game where you have to say to yourself, okay, I got to just try to block that out and not let affect me in the next series?
I really don't like, you know, dwell on it like, oh man, like, but you know, I felt it. You know, I just felt like, oh man, I got to hurry up and make a play. You know, I don't want that to come back and hunt us. And I feel like that came back and hunted us, you know. So like I said, that I feel like that's on me, because, you know, if they don't score, they don't win. You know, Keem just came on the sideline and told me that. Then they throw the ball up. You know, I make a great break. You know, I just got to go up and get the ball, you know, and get my eyes back to receiver and just high point the ball. But I didn't do that. Mike, he made a great play. He jumped up and got the ball. So I feel like that was on me most, like 100%. Like, I feel like that's on me.
It's one of those games where obviously the turnover battle, you end up losing that, even though you had the dominance. And 2-1, the turnover ratio, both those turnovers come in, the interception and the fumble, in the fourth quarter. And you guys did a great job of stopping them the first time. Was the second one just a bridge too far?
I won't say a bridge too far. We just, you know, we prepare ourselves for, you know, them type of situations. You know, that's what football is about. You know, you got to go out there, you know, and things that you don't expect to happen. And, you know, like I said, we do a great job with that in practice, in OTAs and camp, you know, them type of situations. So for us, we just got to go out on defense and just tell them, all right, we're going to hold them to a field goal or no points at all. That's just the mindset. You know, we went out there, we did it before. You know, they missed a field goal and came back. We felt like we could have did it again. And, you know, unfortunately, they got a touchdown, and that put them in a great place. But like I said, man, if they would never got that big bomb on me in the first half, you know, that we would never been in that situation.
We're talking with Eddie Jackson, and a big welcome to our new partners at Mercedes-Benz of Orland Park, who sponsor Eddie every Monday at 8 a.m. on Mullion Haw and Fridays at 5 with McNeil and Parkins. Make sure to listen to both segments live or on demand at 670thescore.com. Eddie, we just talked to Olin Krutz, and Olin is now an analyst for The Score and NBC Sports Chicago, certainly a proud former Bear, played center for a long time, was a locker room leader. His opinion, it carries a lot of weight in Chicago when it comes to the Bears. And this is what he had to say about the challenge facing you guys this week.
The Chicago Bears are going to have to pull everything together, get everything moving in the same direction, and try to go out there and upset the Philadelphia Eagles, which isn't going to be easy. And the only way they're going to do it is if they stick together and take a us-against-the-world mentality. And that's what I'm saying to them. Like, look, if you need to wonder if we're against you and saying that you guys are all playing terrible, you don't have to wonder anymore because we are.
Is that the mentality, Eddie?
Yeah, 100%. That's 100% the mentality. It's us versus everybody. You know, I feel like right now, you know, the team we have is like you really can't, you know, it's like it's no room for panic right now because we know the type of team we have. We just got to face the problem. And for us right now, we know we just going to stick together. We know we got each other. And, like, everyone in our locker room has a lot of confidence in all the players we have. So it's like there's no pointing the fingers or no, you know, doing none of that. And like I said, man, like, this is I really feel like me, I supposed to make that play. And I feel like that's the game-changing play that came back to hunt us. So that's for me. And, you know, like, man, to be honest with you, I've been playing like crap. You know, I got to step up. I haven't made plays, you know, so that's on me. And, I take that one to the chin. But he's 100% right. We got to stick together. We know it's going to be a tough challenge. And it's just a redemption week for us. You know, we just got to finish better. We just got to start out fast and just continue to fly around and just continue to have fun. You know, people are expecting us to panic and fall apart and play the blame game. But We not falling into that. You know, we just gonna do what we've been doing, and that's stand together and play for one another.
The kicker, Eddie Pinheiro, he ended up with field goals of 22, 25, and 19 yards. Those are the made ones. He missed from 33 and obviously wide left from 41. I don't know if you study kicking or care about kicking, but you look at the distance of those kicks. First of all, you should hit them, but when you're settling for field goals, that's a win for you as a defense, right? If you're holding a team to five field goals attempts from that distance, you got to feel like you're doing your job.
Yeah. Most definitely. You know, you're rather holding the 3 points and seven. And, you know, man, Eddie's a great kicker, man. You know, like, this is football. This is what happens. You know, people get bashed from him. And we just know all of the, you know, controversy about the kicker in Chicago and, you know, everything like that. But if we had to do it all over again, man, we'll do the same thing. You know, people have been, you know, questioning the calls and all that. But Eddie's a great kicker. You know, so why not put the game in his hands, man? You know, he just went out there, you know, it went left a little bit. But like I said, we'll do it all over again. You know, you'll put the game in his hands and expect him to nail that. But which brings us back, you know, it's going to be 100 different things on why, you know, he didn't have to be out there. Like I said, if that was on me, if I would have made that play in the first half, you know, the game would have been different. Outcome would have been different. So, like I said, I just got to step up. Me personally, you know, I got to come out. I got to play better and make the plays that I know I'm able to make and, you know, what people expect me to make. You know, from last year, my rookie year, you know, I haven't got an interception yet. You know what, one turnover. So I'm putting this one on me, man. And we just going to get better from it. We're going to learn in. We got Eagles this week. We got 9 games left. So it's not too late for us to go on a 9-game spree. You know, like Coach Nagy, he told us a story about when he was in Kansas City, how they went on a 5-game loss and came back on a 9-game straight. So for us right now, like you just said, we got to stick together. You know, we got to block out all the noise, all the media, all the outsiders, and just play for one another, man. That's all we got to do.
Eddie, what do you think the biggest reason is for what you have described? You're being really critical of your own play individually, and obviously you don't have an interception. That's what we see. That's what the fans see. But when you watch tape, do a couple things stand out? What's different this year about last year when those plays were coming to you, when people were challenging you, and when you were coming through?
I mean, just I just got to continue to play. You know, don't try to go out there and try to force a turnover. You know, trying to, oh, man, like, you know, start panicking. Like, I got to make a play. But it's just, you know, just go out there and just do what I've been doing, you know, and not try to look for the turnover. Just let it happen. You know, just keep, continue to play my game. And like I said, I made a great ball, a great break on the ball. You know, I unfortunately, I wasn't able to get my eyes back to the receiver enough so I can stop and, you know, read him how I pointed. But, you know, just little things like that. You know, now I see what I did wrong. Now I can go back next week and correct it. But, you know, I promise you that won't happen again this year. You know, that's I can challenge you that. That won't happen again this year, especially, you know, while I'm in the middle like that and I make a great break like that. I got to go up and get those balls. You know, 10 out of 10, 100%. You know, that's a play for me to make. But, you know, it's just different. You know, last year you get a lot of targets. People don't know about you. Now it's like you got to, oh, I got to disguise. But I'm up for the challenge, man. I'm not making no excuses for nothing. Like I just said, I got to step it up as a player. You know, I got to go out there and help, you know, make turnovers. You can't just let Mac do it himself or those guys up front do it himself. We got to help them on the back end and score touchdowns. You know, that's what we good at on his defense. We capitalize off turnovers. When we get them, we score touchdowns. So just got to get the ball, man.
You guys were 7-1 at Soldier Field last year, and obviously you just had the crowd going crazy and everybody in your ears, and it was happy and wonderful. It's 1-3 now, and you're booed off the field at halftime. And we've talked to you before about the booing thing and the quarterback facing a lot of criticism. People aren't booing you, Eddie, but you're part of a team that's being booed. What does that feel like, and how has that affected you?
Man, that it sucks. Like, that's just a simple part about it. Like, it sucks. Like, it just, like, you know, when you go out there, you're like, oh, yeah, we got the greatest fans in the world. But then when you start hearing that, it's like, come on, man. Like, y'all cheering and then y'all boo. Y'all cheering, then y'all boo. It's like I just feel like we should just pick a side. Like, I get it. Everyone sees it on the sideline. You know, that was like the talk when after the game, like we talked to the player, like, bro, like y'all hit him, like y'all, like they really out there, they cheering, then they booing. You know, they boo Mitch, then he do a great scramble, everybody's cheering. Like, so it's like, you're going to pick a side, you're going to ride with us or you're not. But like you said, man, we don't care about it no more. You know, hey, fans going to be fans. We not playing for them no more. We playing for us. You know, we playing for each other. You know, the real fans that's going to support us and stay with us and ride for us. We love you and we appreciate you. But everyone else who want to boo and stuff, man, it is what it is. We not playing for them. We playing for us and the true fans of Chicago. And that's just simply like that.
Eddie, Eagles are a good football team. They're coming off a victory over the Bills. They're playing at home. You're familiar with them from the playoffs game, certainly. But they also added Jordan Howard. You know him very well. What's how big a challenge is this, and how badly does this team need a victory?
It's a huge challenge, and you know, I mean, I feel like it speaks for itself how bad we need a victory. You know, I kind of, you know, guaranteed a win, you know, this past game, and we came up short. You know, but like this game, I feel like this is really one of those big statement games. We on the road, hostile territory. You know, we know what they took from us last year. With the playoff game. So we just, like I said, we just got to continue to attack the weeks how we've been attacking them and just go out there and make the plays, you know, just make the plays that we're supposed to make, you know, and it's just simple as that. It's nothing else to talk about or, you know, beat around the bush about. We just got to go out there and just let our play do the talking. You know, I sit up here, I can say 100 different things on what we need to do or how we need to do it. But at the end of the day, man, we just got to go out there and let it show, let it be on the field. And that's just what it is from here on out.
Thanks, Eddie. Hopefully we'll be talking to you under better circumstances next week. Appreciate it.
Good luck, Eddie.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
That is Eddie Jackson, and Eddie Jackson Live brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. What I like about Eddie is he is trying to take responsibility for himself. He's basically, that's leadership, David. That's a guy that's trying to say, put it on me, because he doesn't want to point fingers at anyone else.
Accountability. And that's what you want to hear from a guy like that who's coming off his big season last year and has not produced so far this season. And that's the right attitude you have to take, because really there's no other direction to go but up.
And not playing for the fans, that's an unpopular thing to say. But
hey, you heard Olin Krutz, though. That's what he's telling this team. Yeah, if you're thinking it's us against the world, you're right.
That's right. That's the attitude you have to have.
So I understand right. What his perspective is. I'm not going to rip a guy for having that mindset, because you've got to rally somehow, and this is an underachieving football team. So if you're at midseason, nobody's encouraging you or nobody's cheering for you, They don't have any reason to. So, okay, it is us against the world.
Do you believe in the Bears?
No.
Of course not. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mitch had a hell of a scramble to get 11 yards and put us into a position to make a 40-yard field goal. So there's just a lot of things that can happen. You know, you could have a holding penalty if you call a run. If you throw the ball, you could have a sack. Of course, you could fumble a snap. You could fumble a handoff. There's a lot of negatives that I felt like just at that point at the 40-yard field goal, you know, that we had total confidence that he'll make that. So I said it last night. I don't look back on it. I don't regret it. And I feel very strongly about that.
I'm not an idiot.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. That is the voice of Matt Nagy. He was on this morning with our buddy Josh Liss on WBBM, our sister station, and he has no regrets.
Yeah, a little less defiant, but no less resolute. He believes in what he did. You have to do that if you're a head coach in the NFL. I just think that there's an acknowledgement, there should be at least, the other side of the equation. And that's represented by guys like Tony Dungy, who won a Super Bowl, by the way, who said last night on Sunday Night Football on NBC, you know, when obviously this was a topic around the league, and he said, you know, Matt Nagy, have some confidence in your run game. You might not score, but you'll get closer. Don't rely on your field goal kicker. And this is the guy who had a pretty good field goal kicker.
I cannot relate to Matt Nagy at all because I am loaded with regret. I regret things I said earlier in the show. I'm sure people regret listening to me say those things. My Catholicism makes me regret everything, every bad move, every false step. And I'm not ashamed to say it.
It's inherent.
It really is.
Yeah, you know, it happens. But obviously not everybody's wired the same way.
And God bless him for feeling that I don't believe him, frankly. They lost the game and they came away from that game, and that field goal, you know, you're 5 yards closer, that thing goes in. How do you not regret that?
He doesn't like being second-guessed. I think we're finding that out. I don't know if any coach does, but I think
a lot of people first-guessed him. I believe you were first-guessing him.
Yeah, I was first-guessing him in the press box. There's no question about that. And I still am dumbfounded. And I think that part of the thing in the post-game press conference was that there was just this feeling of, like, we're still baffled by what we had just seen and the decision that was just made. And I have a hard time kind of not understanding the other side of the argument, or guys who are just so defiant about it. You were averaging 4.3 yards per carry. These Chargers had been on the field for 38 minutes. They were undermanned and overmatched most of the day. Your rookie running back was doing pretty well running downhill. Yes, you could have had a holding call. Yes, you could have fumbled. Yes, you could have had a loss. When did Matt Nagy become the defeatist head coach? I don't know. What happened to the NFL coach of the year that looked at things fearlessly and optimistically?
The buzzword for the Bears is regression. He has regressed. Everyone else has regressed. His offense has certainly regressed, and his play calling has regressed.
Steady, incremental regression.
312-644-6767. James is in the South Suburbs. Good morning, James.
Good morning, James.
Hey, guys. Good morning. If I could just touch on a couple things, the first one being Eddie Jackson's response to the fan reaction with the booing. I think the easiest answer to that as an athlete would be to just say, hey, we hear the boos, we understand why they're booing, we need to do better so we can turn those boos into cheers, and just leave it at that. It's pretty simple. Anything else, you're just painting yourself as the bad guy, or that you're just clueless to the situation as why fans are booing.
Do you think that he's being disingenuous in his answer, or do you think that's what he believes?
No, I think it's what he believes, and I get it. I just think, you know, everybody knows you guys don't like to hear that. You don't even have to say that. It's understood. Same as it should be understood from the athlete side of why the fans are booing. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's accountability. It's fan accountability. Yes, that's what you're doing, and you pay the money. And but Eddie's in his second year. He played at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You know I doubt they got booed much, right?
Not a whole lot. We didn't do a lot of losing to Alabama.
Would Nick Saban allow that?
Here's the thing, though, too. I think in fairness. And you asked the question because this is Eddie Jackson's thing. He criticized the booing earlier in the preseason. So in that context, almost every conversation you're going to think of that. But we also we teed him up a little bit because we played the clip for Mullen Krutz and we set the mindset of okay, it's us against the world. It better be that. Because if it isn't that, you're not doing it the right way because Olin Krutz is this historically good leader for the Bears.
Yes.
So I don't want to kill Eddie Jackson for saying something that we sort of presented him with with Olin's comments. And then we said, okay, is it going to be us against the world? And yes. And then it's like, what about the booing, Eddie? Because, of course, he's against the booing. But when he said it as strongly as he did, I can understand as well the reaction we're getting on the text line from people that don't appreciate it. I don't want you to regret asking me the question because it's understandable.
Because I live a life of regret, unlike Matt Nagy.
See, you have
Catholic school.
You have the awareness, though, that you're seeing both sides of that discussion.
Okay, as a fan, right, you can do very, very little, if anything, to affect the outcome on the field. But if you're booing so vigorously at these games, do you feel like you're being helpful? Do you feel like that's...
No, Kevin, you're 100% right. But I've got to say that I was booing on my couch. I swear to you, yes. At the way that ended in the first half...
Oh, that was awful.
Just, oh my God.
And let me tell you, there was a guy who was...
from the one.
Who was beneath the press box, sitting next to Biggs, and we were commenting on this, and Rich Campbell as well, that was doing more than booing. He was using some profanity that it was not a family show. And if I would have been sitting next to him with a 10-year-old, I would have called that number they put on the screen, like, okay, the unruly fan. And even we were even getting that. We were going to just call that just out of, like, frustration because this guy was lighting it up.
I wonder if, as a player, you understand who's being booed. Like, I don't think anyone's booing Eddie. But I think they're booing Matt Nagy, and I think they're booing Mitchell Trubisky.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe there's like a general boo for Ryan Pace. Okay. But I don't
kicker. Thinking around the corner.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. He's keeping a low profile.
The kicker.
The kicker was definitely being booed. No question about that. So
boo this man!
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
When things aren't going well, how do you keep positive when you have that kind of result?
You really just stick together. You know, that's just what it's all about. It's just for us to stick together. You know, just like Coach said, well, we just got each other right now, so we just got to trust and just stay together and just, you know, just know that it's all going to work out. You know, just keep trying to push, keep fighting, and just, you know, try to fix all the problems.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, 312-644-6767. And the Bears now have to turn their eyes toward the Eagles.
Yes, they do. It's a
must win.
It's a tough environment to win a football game against a team that's starting to get it together. And yesterday, you know who had a bad day? I mean, we talked about Eddie Jackson. We talked about Matt Nagy. We talked about Mitch Trubisky. Ryan Pace had a bad day.
Oh,
it was
boy.
A bad day. Just you look at the Eagles. Jordan Howard, 23 carries, 96 yards, and a touchdown. You didn't need him on this team, apparently. Also, you look at Tennessee. They won a game. Cody Parkey kicked two field goals longer than the one Eddie Pinero missed. 51 and 42 yarders for Cody Parkey. Just to add insult to injury or whatever, to rub salt in the wound, however you want to phrase it, it also happened on the day that Deshaun Watson did something worthy of comparison to Michael Jordan.
Wow.
That's a bad day.
Oops.
For a Bears fan.
And now you got to play Alshon Jeffrey, and now you got to play Jordan Howard. And don't forget, they also have, he's not starting, but they have
Jose Altuve.
Josh McCown.
Oh, my gosh.
Josh McCown made me a better man, let alone a better reporter.
He's 40.
He's a wonderful human. Dustin, do you remember our conversation with Josh McCown? We just stood there after practice and chatted, the three of us. And I got to tell you, I became a better person.
He's one of those guys that you looked forward to seeing, and because he tended to make everybody happier after you talked to him.
I'm not joking. He was a great guy.
He's on the roster for a reason.
That's right.
You don't bring in guys to the mix just because, you know, he had above average skills, but he was an extraordinary teammate. And I think that's what everybody who, you know, had the Josh McCown experience, they say the same things. That's why he's there.
We're talking about Bears Eagles. E-A-G-A-L-E-S.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. We have a lot of people that have a lot of thoughts.
Carson Wentz is going to be a problem, too.
A lot of ideas, yeah. Maybe.
By the way.
Jeff is in Rockford. Hey, Jeff.
Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay.
This whole team is soft. I mean, Trey Burton epitomizes this team. I mean, they don't want to go for it. They don't have a single.
He had a catch yesterday.
Nice catch yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a catch. What, the first only play he's made all year?
Yeah.
I mean,
pretty much.
But I mean, you don't have a hot read. You don't have a safe play when the other team has taken timeouts to leave you with yours. I mean, with three downs left,
you know,
to try to get 10 yards.
They threw a ball to Shaheen at one point, and I think Tom Brenneman thought that was Trey Burton. Like, he was confused for a second because they had attempted a play to the tight end.
Shaheen's jersey was cleaner.
Oh.
He is the clean jersey guy. I mean, he always has the cleanest jersey on the field. You watch next week. He will have the cleanest jersey of any Bear on the field.
Dominic is in Lyle. Good morning, Dominic.
Good morning, Dominic.
How you guys doing? Hey, David, you made a comment that the Bears' defense held Rivers, you know, like the 200 yards and stuff like that.
Yep.
But what really kept Rivers from killing the Bears were his receivers. Tight end dropped two balls.
He was terrible.
And their receivers dropped
and he killed
two balls
them.
That were in the end zone for touchdowns.
That's a good point. Yep.
And Williams.
And then the other falling down all over the field.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? Mike Williams did go up and get he high-pointed that ball.
But he dropped one in the end zone.
Yeah, he did.
And what was the kid's name? It was a Hunter. Hunter Hate, whatever.
Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry, excuse me. He dropped.
He was a Hunter.
He was awful. He was, well.
Buck season.
He was a collector of bad attempts to catch the ball. It was a Hunter and collector.
Philip Rivers only had 201 yards. And if you just look at that, you think, okay, you hold Philip Rivers 200 yards passing. And he got a shot.
And what's his name? He played hurt. It kept falling down. Keenan Allen was falling down four or five times, right? Spent a lot of time on the ground. I think he was hunting calls, but he was also apparently not able to stand up. Sam is in Joliet. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Sam.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
We got you, buddy.
Yeah, the reason for my call is the fact that a couple of games, it seems that Nagy's ego is going to be the downfall of this team. Just like when they went to England, he said it was not necessary for them to go there because they did that with Kansas City Chiefs. Nagy is not Reed. He's just a new coach. You have to find his own pathways. But he's more or less relying on his experience as a Kansas City Chief coach, one of the coaches on Kansas City Chief. Just like yesterday, I think his ego is finally in his mind that he's always saying be you. But he's not trying to be you, right? He's trying to be you and he's selling the team exponentially.
I get it, Sam. It's a good point.
Sam, it's an interesting point because
Nagy needs to let go his ego is what I believe you're saying.
More arrogance by Matt Nagy.
He needs to release his ego and do what's best for the team. I thought he did it for a large portion of that game. They ran the ball.
He
they held on to the ball.
He did.
He did change what he was doing, but it didn't go far enough.
They came out in a heavy package with a fullback and an extra offensive lineman. And if that didn't make a statement that they were serious about running the football on Sunday, nothing would have. So you're
but when
right.
When a team is without three of their top four defensive tackles, when their two Pro Bowl safeties are out, you run at them, right?
You run at them.
You can run right at them.
You run at them every chance you get.
They got a 40-year-old linebacker. He's a good player, but he's a 40-year-old linebacker.
And
run at him.
Run at him, and they did. They had 38 rushes. You know what the problem was? They didn't have 39.
Okay, that's part of the problem?
That's the problem.
The problem also is they didn't have like 54. They should have been running the ball down by the goal line earlier in the game.
Fair enough.
They need it. You know, they when again, Matt Nagy will watch that game tape, and I'm sure he's already done it. And I know that he said he has no regrets. But when you see that the play action works when you actually run the ball, when you see that you can get down to the 4 yard line and run the running back that you moved up, even though you only had a third round pick, and you moved up to get him, use him.
That's what I don't get about these coaches that, you know, they say they have no regrets. You had first and goal at the 4. You had first and goal at the 9. You had 6 snaps and you did not give the ball to David Montgomery on one of them. How do you not regret that? If you're honest with yourself, if you're honest with the people you're speaking to, your audience, I just don't understand. Is that ego that gets in the way? It's very hard for any of us to acknowledge when you're wrong, but sometimes you are. And sometimes it helps your argument, if you're making one, to recognize that there is another side to the equation, that there's another perspective that has value. There was none of that in the post game. He was hearing none of that.
No, you understand me? He was spitting down at people because of the fact that he is a Super Bowl winning. Because he's a playoff winning. Because he's a coach.
And what Sam is getting at is this a consistent theme here that you have to wonder and you connect the dots. Yeah, he didn't want to hear about the fact that they might have gone too late to London, which I don't think was an issue, but he didn't want to hear any part of that. He didn't want to hear about the fact that he's not an idiot. He knows they need to run the ball. Don't tell him that they only had 7 running plays. Okay, but you only had 7 running plays. And then yesterday, when there is definitely another side of the argument, when you're taking a knee and increasing the degree of difficulty for a kicker who just missed a 33-yard field goal. So, come on.
312-644-6767. Let's try Bill. He's in Orland Park. Hey, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Bill?
Hey, guys. Yeah. Hear me?
Gotcha. Yep.
All right. So I just kind of wanted to elaborate on I'm shocked by the amount of balls Mitch Trubisky just tries to thread into tight coverage. It's just wasted plays, honestly. I just wanted to hear your guys' opinion on, is there anything to salvage this season? Do we need to trade for a quarterback such as Andy Dalton?
Tuesday is the trade deadline. So you want to put together a trade to bring in anybody at this point? I would like to say no.
Yeah.
But I don't know who's available and what it costs, and you don't have a lot
if you got Nick Foles and you could sell that argument and work him under the cap. Because that's more of a plan beyond the next 9 games. That's a plan that you've already accelerated the process of your postseason evaluation.
Right.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think they're doing it. I don't think there's a chance.
No.
But it's a good question of whether or not they should, believe it or not.
It's a fair question because he's been disappointing.
Because they're 3-4.
Yeah, they're 3-4 and they're out of it. So if you're Ryan Pace and you got the trade deadline looming, I don't know that you're making a phone call about quarterbacks, but I do think you're making some phone calls. And I think you're saying, okay, you know, just out of curiosity, what would you give me for Leonard Floyd? Hey, just out of curiosity.
That's very interesting.
I think you have to have these conversations.
You're not calling me, right?
Well, hopefully you're not working in the league.
The only time he got calls when he had a crucial face mask penalty yesterday.
He did have a big face mask penalty. Yeah.
And you know, I use Leonard Floyd just as an example, but representative of somebody on your roster.
Danny Trevathan is having a great year.
Who has some value, but you might not be able to re-sign him. How expensive is he going to be to your future plans?
Do you trust Roquan enough to get rid of Danny Trevathan, or has Danny Trevathan become more valuable because Roquan was better yesterday, don't get me wrong, but uneven play over a few games?
The reality is why I would even bring it up is because you don't have a lot of draft picks, and you're in a situation now you're going to be coming off an underachieving season where you need draft capital to try to rebuild something that you're missing.
Could you get 3 number ones for Khalil Mack?
What do you think
you're talking crazy.
What do you think the Raiders would want for their backup quarterback?
Mack.
No, I don't want their backup quarterback. I want Derek Carr.
You don't want Mike Glennon?
I want Derek Carr.
Mike Glennon.
Oh, jeez.
Pietro is on the road. Good morning, Pietro.
Hey, Pietro.
Morning. I actually think that people are being too hard on Mitchell Trubisky because what we know is that he doesn't have the downfield accuracy. Right. And he's a poor decision maker, but he can nail those 15-20-yard passes. And I think what it falls down to is that he doesn't have the 7 seconds to throw the ball. Pace hasn't put a star player on offense, particularly the line, and Nagy doesn't trust the Trubisky enough to.
Who has 7 seconds? Who has 7 seconds?
Bridgewater last week. Okay.
But who makes a living? What quarterback makes a living in the NFL?
One, two, three, boom.
You can't make a living completing 15 to 20 yard passes. At some point in time, you got to threaten the ball downfield. You've got to make decisions quicker than Mitch has made them. You've got to be more consistent and accurate than he has been.
Mike's in Rockford. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Mitch, Ryan Pace is an idiot, and that other caller just called is ridiculous as well, because you traded up to get this clown, okay? And you're going to sit here and tell me that we're all giving excuses for Trubisky. Look, we traded up. We gave picks away. Ryan Pace is telltale of trading up. Look at all the people he's traded up for. He traded up all these guys. It's always trading up, and it's always an athlete with the potential. It's an athlete with the potential. Not an experienced player, but it's an athlete with potential. We don't have time, guys. We're giving away draft picks, and this is ridiculous. Now, the only way they're going to save their butt, you got a damn good defense. You got an adequate offense. The line is terrible. But if you got an adequate quarterback that would know the system, this is what this clown's going to have to do. He's going to have to go in there and
the name calling. You make your point without the name calling. But
clown is not a name call.
He was worse than that.
Let me ask you, would you trade? Okay, let's say you call the Kansas City Chiefs.
Uh-huh.
You could even have Nagy call Andy.
Hey, Andy.
Andy, hey.
What's going on, Andy?
We've been talking about it, and we think you guys need the pass rush.
God, I miss Doug.
We will trade you our quarterback.
I miss Patrick Moore.
Along with our best player, Khalil Mack, for your quarterback.
Okay. That's nonsense.
Yeah, right.
Thank you very much.
All right. We're going to bring in Danny Connor next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.